The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What's the difference between Hades and Gehenna? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this show. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. We're currently taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. If you've got a question that keeps you up at night, I hope you'll send it to us. You can hop on your computer or your device and give us an email, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is Grace in Focus, and my name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're taking your questions on the Bible and theology. We love discussing the Bible and theology. In fact, I was just in Tampa at Bayside Community Church.
Yeah.
Got to eat with some church members the night before and the lunch after the service. What was great was that we actually talked theology. One of the questions that we were discussing around the table was, when does the Battle of Gog and Magog happen?
Wow.
I don't think I've ever discussed that high-level question around any table, with you. But here it was totally different. We can just talk. Everyone wanted to talk theology, and we did, and it was very, very interesting. And
right.
I think our program maybe kind of appeals to that type of person anyways.
Well, I hope so. You know, we all should be Bereans. We all should be searching the scriptures to see if the things which we're hearing on the radio, on TV, at church, in Sunday school, in our Bible studies, are those things consistent with the Word of God? No teacher is 100% accurate in everything they say. So
sure.
We always need to be evaluating what we hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should be interested. I mean, I find the Bible super rich in what it teaches and the questions it raises. I mean, there are lots of things that are explicit and that are clear in Scripture. And then there's lots of other things where it raises questions that the Bible does not answer. And then you're just left with like trying to connect the dots and wondering what the answer might be. And I just find it interesting in and of itself, personally.
Right.
And a lot of these questions are kind of like that we get. I have a stack here of, I don't know, several hundred questions, probably. And they're all interesting to one degree or another. For example, here's a question from Sam. And he says, what is the difference between Gehenna and Hades? There are several verses that I believe refer to the believer and mention Gehenna. And I know that Hades and Gehenna have to be two different places or else different words wouldn't have been used. Well, let me start off by saying I think that's a perceptive question, and here's why. Because the King James, for some reason, made the mistake, I believe, of taking all kinds of terms for the underworld and terms for judgment and just translating them all as hell, as
right.
This word hell. Technically speaking, in the New Testament, there is no place called hell.
Right.
Right? There's several different places, and you really do need to distinguish between those places. But the difference between Gehenna and Hades is especially interesting because Hades is definitely part of the underworld.
Right. Hades is the Greek word that corresponds with the Hebrew word Sheol. And Sheol was the place of the dead, and Hades was the place of all dead prior to Jesus' ascension.
So basically, whether you're a believer or not, whether you're Abraham or if you're Amalek, and when you died, you went to Hades.
Right, and if you read Luke 16:19-31, the Lord tells an account about the rich man and Lazarus, and they end up in different parts of Hades.
See, now that's interesting. Say a little bit more about that.
Well, the rich man ends up in the bad part of Hades where he's in torment, and the poor man, Lazarus, ends up with Abraham, reclining on Abraham's bosom, and that's the place of blessing. Prior to Jesus dying, rising, and ascending to heaven, even believers were in Hades or Sheol.
But it sounds like, you know, from Jesus' description, there is a torment side.
Right.
And then there's like a paradise side.
Yeah. In fact, it is called paradise because Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise.
Right.
And Jesus didn't go to the third heaven when he died. He went to Hades.
Right.
For 3 days.
Right.
And so he was in paradise, which is where Jesus was during that time. And so, yeah, Hades is the place of the dead. And if you read Revelation 20:11-15, it talks about the fact that at the great white throne judgment, Hades is going to give up its dead, and they're going to be resurrected and brought to Jesus at the Great White Throne Judgment, which I think will take place on Earth. A lot of people think it'll take place in the third heaven, but regardless of where it takes place, the unsaved dead are going to be raised one day, and they'll appear before Jesus at the Great White Throne Judgment, and they'll be judged. So Hades, place of the dead.
Right.
Gehenna could be. I do not agree with Sam that because the word is different, that means it must be a different place.
Okay.
It could be the same place. I have a chapter on this in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. I have one chapter on heaven and one chapter on hell. And in the chapter on hell, I go through this, and I suggest that Gehenna is a difficult word. It could, in some places, be a synonym for Hades, and it might simply refer to a place of temporal judgment, that is, judgment in this life.
Okay.
Because Gehenna was a garbage dump outside of Jerusalem where they would perpetually burn trash. It could be a symbol of judgment in this life. It seems to be used that way in some passages. But I'm kind of an agnostic on what Gehenna is, and I think Sam's right. Some of those passages sound like they're dealing with believers, but it's not crystal clear that they are. I think the Gehenna passages are worth more effort.
To study.
It's a more study, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you had said, and probably we should clarify this, before the cross, believers and unbelievers both went to Hades. But after the cross, something changed, and maybe we should explain what changed.
After the cross, all of the believers in Hades left and went to what's called the third heaven.
Right.
You'll remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, I know a man who was caught up into the third heaven, into the paradise of God.
Mm.
Well, paradise moved. When Jesus ascended to the third heaven, now paradise was the third heaven. I call it the third heaven because the first heaven is the atmosphere around the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And this word Uranos is also used of outer space. That's the second heaven. And Paul specifically calls it the third heaven. Probably that's a different dimension, maybe a different universe. We don't really know where the third heaven is, but that's where believers are now. And by the way, there were two believers who weren't in Hades, Elijah and Enoch.
Enoch, yeah.
Those two didn't die, and so they went directly into the presence of God, we think. I mean, theoretically, they could have gone to the safe part of Hades, but I think that's unlikely because they didn't die, and that was the place of the dead.
Yeah, it's interesting. They were taken, but we don't know where they were taken.
Right.
Either place would kind of seem like it's out of place because he would have been in a physical body, and so he really shouldn't be in Hades. How could he exist there in a physical body?
Well, not only that, but both of them say that they were caught up.
And they were caught up.
Not down. The catching up suggests they went to the third heaven. They clearly went up at least into the first heaven.
Right.
Most likely we should understand that Enoch and Elijah went directly into the presence of the Lord.
Right.
Because, of course, the blood of Christ went backwards, too.
Ah.
In other words, the blood of Christ atoned for the sins of those who died before the cross, or who, in the case of Enoch and Elijah, didn't die at all.
Right. And, you know, if people want to think about this a little bit more, there was a message at our 2021 national conference given by Craig Glickman. Is he the one who talked about dimensionality and just this idea of thinking about things in terms of other dimensions? Did he touch on that?
I think he did. It was rather sci-fi-ish.
It was, which is right up your alley.
I like that.
You like that. But I think it also kind of stretches our imagination, too, to think about, you know, heaven as a different type of dimension, you know, or I don't know that Hades, maybe Hades is too, maybe in the future state, where is the lake of fire going to be? I think
we don't really
know, but is it going to be a different type of, I mean, people talk about multiverses all the time now and things like that, but there's also the complication of other dimensions. I don't know. It's all interesting.
Well, we do know the lake of fire will be the place of the unsaved dead forever.
Right.
I think that's probably going to be a planet. And maybe a planet in a different universe or dimension or whatever. But again, that's not called hell either. That's the lake of fire.
That's a great point. But I think in people's mind, whatever hell is and lake of fire, those are the same thing. And really, they're not. Hades is not the lake of fire. Although Hades has a fire component, I guess.
Right.
Does it give us a foretaste of what Lake of Fire is going to be like? I guess so.
Well, it seems to me from the Luke 16, 19 through 31 passage, the rich man's in torment, mm-hmm. and we're told that those who are going to be in the Lake of Fire will be in eternal torment.
Right.
So, yes, I think it does give us a picture in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words. I suggest this is probably a picture, but we can't press that because the scriptures don't exactly say.
Right.
I mean, currently what's going on in Hades could be far less than what will go on in the Lake of Fire. It could be worse.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the same. We don't really know.
Right. Now, interestingly, in Revelation 20, we're told that death and Hades, they deliver up the dead, but then death and Hades are cast into the Lake of Fire. So what does it mean for Hades to be cast into the Lake of Fire? Is it kind of like one place being cast into another place, or is that kind of a reference to the inhabitants, or, I mean, what is it?
Yeah, that's what, verse 14,
verse
and
14.
Death in Hades, and the New King James has death capitalized. It's like personifying death.
Yeah.
And Hades were cast into the Lake of Fire. This is the second death. In Scripture, the first death is physical death. Everybody experiences that.
Yeah.
But the second death is only for the unbeliever. And the second death is specifically being cast into the Lake of Fire.
Yeah.
And I think when it says that death and Hades are cast into the Lake of Fire, it's talking about those who are represented in Hades or in death. In other words, the unsaved dead, that is those who've come from Hades,
right,
are all cast into the Lake of Fire.
It's kind of like, would it be kind of like saying America gets cast into the Lake of Fire, and what they mean is the people.
Right. That's what it would stand for.
Right, so it's almost like a nation, almost.
Right.
Like these are the citizens of these realms.
But verse 15 explains exactly who we're talking about, because in verse 15 we read, "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire."
Yeah.
So who experiences the second death? Who gets cast in the lake of fire? Those whose names are not in the book of life. So when we talk about the dead, we're specifically talking about the dead not in the book of life. When we talk about Hades, we're talking about, of course, those who've recently come from Hades, not before the ascension. And so I would suggest, Sam, that Gehenna probably is a significantly different place than Hades, and most likely it refers to temporal judgment, but I think it's worthy of more study.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to talk about Esau and why he was rejected if he cried for repentance. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.